Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Career Talk with Holly Bunn. I am your host, Holly Bunn. And Career Talk is a place where we talk about how to manage your job search and your career successfully. Because the job search can be tough, and I am here to help you through that process and make it just a little easier. For those who don't know me, I am a resume writer, a LinkedIn profile writer, a career coach. Through my business, Ms. Resume Helps. I've worked for some of the largest staffing companies in the world, designing and implementing recruiting strategies, and I've worked directly with hiring managers and recruiters. So I've been in the staffing industry a little close to 20 years, and I've learned a thing or two, and I'm here to share that knowledge with you. At the end of the show, I will be giving you one of my best resume tips, so stay tuned for that. Okay, so let's jump right in, and if you missed last week's show, we talked about how to rock your phone interview. And if you want to catch that show in the show archives, episode 10 on blogtalkradio.com/Holly Bunn. Or you can see the show notes from that show on my blog, msresumehealth.wordpress.com. Or follow me on LinkedIn to see my latest posts from the shows. I want to take a brief moment and say hello and thank you for listening. For all of those who are listening outside of the U.S., last week, we had some new listeners from Italy and France, so welcome and thank you for listening. Thank you, India, thank you, Canada, and certainly thank you to everyone out there who has tuned into the show. So today's show is part two of a two-part series on interviewing. So because we talked about phone interviews last week, today we're going to talk about face-to-face interviews. And how do you ace that face-to-face interview? There are a few rules that you need to follow, so I'm going to cover those. And there's a couple of things that you can do to kind of give yourself an edge, and I'll be going over that. So let's just jump right into today's subject. So there are a couple of types of interviews when you come face-to-face. And some of you, depending on the job that you're applying for, you will encounter some of these interviews. So certainly there's the traditional or informational interview, where a hiring manager or a recruiter is going to ask you some questions about your work history, about your experience against the job posting or the job description. And this might be done during a phone interview, but it certainly can be done on your interview, which may be your first one. So listen to last week's show about how to ace this kind of interview. Again, that's episode 10. And then you'll get some tips on how to do that traditional interview. So then there's the behavioral situational interview. That's where they ask you about certain scenarios, certain situations. They'll say things like, tell me about a time when, or they'll ask you, what would you do if? And that's when CAR stories become very important in those scenarios. That's challenge, action, and results stories. And I'll go over those in a few. I did cover those in last week's episode, episode 10, so listen again to that episode to get more about CAR stories, and I'll talk about them in a little bit, too. And then there's the panel group interview. That's the interview that's typical of, let's say, if you're at a college student fair, job fair, or even if you're a college student, you're applying or interviewing for a high-volume position, like even an intern can be part of a panel or a group interview. And this is where they do a quick presentation to a bunch of people in the room, maybe five or six of you that are interviewing together, but ask you individual questions after that presentation, either one-on-one or in a group atmosphere. So that's if, and just keep in mind that during a panel or a group interview, the employer is observing how you interact with other people and other candidates. You know, are you a leader? Are you a follower? Do you work well with others? You know, do you play well in the sandbox? They're kind of looking at those things. And then there's the stress interview. Now, this is usual for executives to kind of be in the stress interview to see how you react under pressure. So if you're C-level or at that level, you'll probably go through a stress interview. That's usually when a board or a panel sits in a room with you. You're on one side of the table and they're on the other. And or they're just in a casual setting and they'll ask you something like, so, John, what do you think is wrong with us? And how are you going to fix it? That can be very stressful because, you know, am I going to tell this company that they're terrible or don't I? You know, I don't want to seem overconfident or, you know, I'll talk about how to react during these certain interviews, but you'll encounter that at the state level, the stress interview, to see how well you react under stress. Did you crack or are you cool as a fan? You know, and then there's the lunch-dinner interview. Okay, this is usual for people in a sales position or a relationship-building type position, relationship management. And they're trying to see how you interact in casual situations or in a dinner situation. Now, there's a couple of rules to the lunch-dinner interview. You order a moderately priced menu item. You know, don't order bread and water, but don't order filet mignon either, okay? never order alcohol or never accept an alcoholic drink. Politely decline. And don't talk with your mouth full. Don't talk and have a mouthful of spaghetti, not spaghetti, but a mouthful of, you know, salad saying, you know, here, you're going to say it and not spray it. so stay away from soups and spaghetti. If you are any pasta, like spaghetti, fettuccine, angel hair, whatever, when you're in a dinner or lunch situation, especially if you're a slurper, if you slurp the spaghetti or if you slurp soup, do not order these during a lunch or dinner interview. And oftentimes your spouse is invited to accompany you on a lunch or dinner interview. Again, they're looking to see how well you fit into company culture. This is usual for executives. So never take leftovers during a lunch or dinner interview. Never take a doggy bag, none of that stuff. That's impolite, shows bad manners. And you want to have your best table manners. If you don't know or you're not up to par on table manners, I suggest you Google it, watch a YouTube video or something. Just be on your best behavior. Never offer to pay for a lunch or dinner interview because it is expected that you are not going to pay. It is just seen as it's mostly impolite or not proper etiquette to offer to pay when you're invited to come to a lunch or dinner interview. Those are just a few types of interviews. I will talk about some of these during my during the rest of the show, but I wanted you to be aware of the types of interviews that you could go through. Most people are going to go through in their second, third, fourth interview. They'll go through the behavioral or situational interview, okay? And then last interview, you'll have maybe a dinner, lunch, a stress interview, that type of thing. All right, so how do you prepare? How do you prepare an interview, regardless of what kind you have? Okay, there's a couple things. I know, you know, some people have talked about this ad nauseum, but I'm going to give you Holly's best tips, okay? Number one, preparing for an interview, I want you to always, always check your attitude. I want bad attitudes to be checked at the door, okay? And bad meaning aggressive attitudes, elitist attitudes, negative attitudes, elitist meaning, you know, you owe me this job, or, you know, this job is mine, I should have had it a long time ago, or I'm mad at my last employer, or I had a bad day. All of that bad negative energy needs to be checked at the door. I want you to walk in to that interview knowing that you have the job. It's just a matter of verifying this and be positive, have lots of energy, be excited about the job. You are now in the home stretch for this position, and it's just a matter of checking the check boxes, okay? So leave all negativity out the door. Don't even let it come through the door. That makes a huge amount of difference. You'd be surprised at how many people have lost job offers or just didn't make it through the interview because your attitude sucks, okay? So just check bad attitudes at the door. Number two, research the company. Yeah, I know I said that in the last episode 10, research the company, find out what's going on. But the day of your one-on-one interview, your face-to-face, I want you to check current events for the last 24 hours or last 48 hours of what's going on with that company. Do a Google search or whatever, and be prepared that if you find something that's happened in the last 24 to 48 hours in the news about that company, you know, they announced they had a press release, they announced a new product, they had a merger, acquisition, whatever. Be prepared to kind of talk about that during your interview or incorporate it into some of your answers, especially if that news is going to affect your job or the potential job that you have. That shows that you're current, in the know, you stay up to date with what's going on. Trust me, people don't do this. They researched the company 2 weeks ago, they have all their information, and they're ready to go on the interview. I want you to look, even set a Google alert for yourself. Look and see what's happened in the last 24 to 48 hours. And then I want you to, third, write at least 3 car stories. Now, I mentioned that already, challenge, action, result stories. These are stories about problems that you solved, but they're things that you're very, very proud of, right? They're things that made you smile, sit up in your chair. The day that you had that challenge and solved it, that was the day you said, this is the job for me, okay? I want you to think back on those times in your current position or previous position. Prepare 3 of those stories and describe them by describing the challenge, the action you took to address that challenge, and the results of your action. Challenge, action, results. I want you to take not more than 90 seconds to explain that story in an interview, because after 90 seconds, you've lost the person, okay? They're off thinking about what they have to do tomorrow. So 20 seconds to describe the challenge, not more than 45 to 60 seconds describing the action, and another 20 seconds describing the result. I want you to also create stories, if you can, that demonstrate your ability to do the job that you're applying for. That's key. Stories that demonstrate the ability to do the job that you're applying for, not the job that you had, the job that you're applying for. That's key. So write down at least 3 car stories. And then for anyone who's having a local interview, meaning it's in your city, it's in your town, and you have to drive to the interview, this is really important. This really helps. It helps you be on time. I want you to, either the day before, the week before, or as soon as you know you have that interview, do a dry run of driving to that place of business. So that, one, you know, don't rely on Google Maps to always be right, because sometimes they're wrong. And you can get lost, which makes you late for your interview. I don't care if you leave 2 hours ahead of time. You can't control accidents or construction or anything, right? So I want you to do a dry run of driving to that place of business where your interview is going to be, either the day before or the, you know, before your interview, so that you can time it, you won't get lost, and if you can, do this during rush hour so that you can see what your commute's going to look like. What's it going to look like for me to drive, you know, at 8 o'clock in the morning every day to this new place? That can give you some sense of my commute went from 30 minutes to an hour, or my commute went from an hour to 20 minutes. You get what I'm saying? So do the dry run. That's how I would prepare, on top of everything else that I mentioned last week on how to prepare for the phone interview. You'll do all of those things, but you have to take a few extra steps for the phone, the face-to-face interview, okay? So during the face-to-face interview, you're going to have some tough answers and questions, a lot tougher than the phone interview, which is like a qualifying interview. You know, how many years of experience do you have, and how, you know, do you have this degree? Where did you go to school? So now the face-to-face interview is going to be that behavioral situational, most likely. More than likely, you'll do second interview behavioral or situational. They're going to ask you questions like, so tell me about yourself. Now, I mentioned this before, and I'm going to reiterate the point again. You'll get asked this question more than once, because every person that's interviewing you probably going to start off with this, because they don't know you from a can of paint. They don't care that the last person interviewed you and asked you the same question. They want to know for themselves. Tell me about yourself. So when you're face-to-face, I want you to talk about your career from your most current position to the last 5 years. Don't go back 10 years, 5 years. And if it's with the same company, that's fine. To talk about your job title, a little bit about what you did overall, 1 or 2 sentences about your major responsibilities. Talk about your education or certifications or training that's relevant to the position. That's key, relevant to the position. So if the position says must have a bachelor's degree, you don't have to boast off I have 2 master's degrees and a PhD, because you've just overqualified yourself for the position, okay? So if the position calls for a bachelor's degree, you say, I received my bachelor's degree in 2009 at, you know, University of Texas. All right, and so Next, they're going to ask you, back to the tell me about yourself before I finish that. Do not include things like your hobby, you know, what you do on the weekend, you like to spend time with family, and no, they're really not interested in that stuff. Plus, you're setting yourself up for a potential discrimination lawsuit, meaning if you mention the fact that, hey, I love to spend time with my kids on the weekend, or, you know, I have a mother who's sick and I spend most of my time, you know, taking care of her on the weekend and that's how I, or during the week, you know, an employer is going to get nervous. Because now you've shared information that they really don't need to have at their disposal. Because if you get mad and try to sue them, they can say you told them about this in the interview and they used that information against you. You don't even want to even be close to being in that situation. So don't talk about anything about your personal life when they say, tell me about yourself. They're really interested in your career. Okay. So then they're going to ask you a tough question, and I do this with my clients. I do it with my clients first so that the first time they hear this question is with me, and by the time they practice this question with me and how to answer it, they get to the employer, this is a piece of cake to answer. But if you're not my client and you hear this question for the first time, it can be a little daunting. They'll ask you a question that says something like, why are you qualified for this job? Or why should I hire you? Or why are you applying for this job? Oh, they'll ask you that. They'll ask you in different ways. But they're essentially asking you, what makes you greater than the person I just interviewed? So one, you're going to give your top three strengths related to the job that you're applying for. And you have a clue what those strengths are because there's a job posting or job advertisement that you replied to. Okay, you get a highlighter, print it out, get a highlighter. What are your top three strengths when it comes to this job that you're applying for? That's how you're qualified for the job. And if you're not qualified for the job, it's an opportunity to grow, okay? And that brings me to my next question that they're going to ask. They're going to ask you in different ways, but they're going to ask you, what are your strengths and what are your weaknesses? You know, tell me your strengths. I'm a people person. I work well with others. You know, I'm a good communicator. These are okay answers. A greater answer to what are your strengths is what I just said. Your strengths are your greatest strengths related to the job that you're applying for. Okay, so if it says must know, cost accounting, and if you're great at cost accounting, that's one of your strengths. Hey, one of my strengths is cost accounting. I've been doing it for the last 6 years, and, I have a 0% error rate. That's a strength, not I'm a great communicator, and, you know, I led a project team, and I sent out emails, and everyone received them. Do you see how much of a stronger answer it is to tell what your strengths are and frame them around the skill that is a strength, okay? In the same way, they're going to ask you what your weaknesses are. Okay, so a lot of people stumble over this question. They mess up. They say the wrong thing, and everybody, I would say I would say 5 out of 10 people do the fake out with this question. And the fake out is taking the strength and making it a weakness and turning it into a weakness so that it seems like, you know, your weakness is really a strength. Employers can see this from 10 miles away, and they get annoyed when people do that. And an example is, oh, my weakness is that I can't say no. I overwork myself. You know, I just need to learn to be more assertive and tell people, no, I can't do that job right now because I have 15 things on my plate. Boo. You just lost the opportunity. That is not a weakness, folks. It's not. And you're faking it. And this is not a fake it till you make it question, okay? I want you to answer that question by considering this. Your weakness is the experience that you don't have related to that job. Let that sink in for a second. Your weakness is the experience that you don't have related to that job that you're applying for. If you're my client, you're very familiar with the 80-20 rule, and you know how to use that 20% in your favor. Everyone that applies for a job has something about that job, even if it's one thing that you have not done, or that you kind of sort of maybe have a little bit of experience in it, and it's okay, you'll get some more. So I want you to consider that your weakness is the experience that you don't have for the job that you're applying for. Example, if you don't know Microsoft Project, you can kind of sort of know, you looked at it and you used it once about 5 years ago. When someone says, so what's your weakness? And you know that they said you must know Microsoft Project. Hey, my weakness is right now I don't know Microsoft Project as much as I should. And I know that's a requirement of the position, but I'm taking a class on YouTube or I'm taking a class on lynda.com to address that weakness so that, you know, that skill set can be addressed either before I get this job or when I get into the job. Do you see how that's a better answer? Even though it's a weakness, it's not something that's going to hurt you. Okay, I want you to consider that. So now, they're also going to ask you questions like, tell me about a problem you had and how did you solve it? This is where those car stories come in. You have them prepare because you prepared for the interview at least three of the car stories. So when they say, tell me about a problem you had and how did you solve it, that's where the car stories come in. You shoot one of them out and have two or three ready in case they ask you more. Okay? Then they're going to ask you, where do you see yourself in 5 years? I want you to talk about your career growth as it relates to the position that you're applying for. And make sure that it makes sense. And what do I mean when I say that? When they say, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Talk about it as far as your career goes. Well, this position is accounting manager, and in 5 years, I'd like to work my way up to accounting director or comptroller. You know, that's where I could see myself making a nice progression within this company, and that's the answer, okay? Not, this position is accounting manager, and I want to be CEO in 5 years. Really? Okay. Well, hey, that may be possible, but probable in 5 years, corporate growth, that's a little out of reach. Again, make sure it makes sense. Maybe CEO in 10 to 15 years, but 5 years, maybe director, vice president. Make sure it makes sense. Also, don't talk about things that have nothing to do with the position that you're applying for. Again, position is for an accounting manager, and I want to have a nail salon in 5 years. I want to be my own business owner. Really? Again, it has nothing to do with this job. And you'll probably, the manager's going to be like, oh, she's going to leave me soon to start her own business. Probably not the person for me. I want you to think about those things. They're also going to ask you, why are you leaving your current position? And I want you to tell the truth within reason. If it's your idea to leave, then say something like, you know, you're moving on to explore greater career opportunities. If it's not your idea to leave and you were laid off, simply say so. Don't hide that. Don't get uneasy about it. Just say, you know, there was a reduction in force. I was a part of that reduction. And so I'm making sure I take care of my career by applying and interviewing for additional jobs and opportunities. If you were fired and they press about, you know, why you're leaving your current position, say something. Don't say you were fired. Say something like, you know, I had a good run at the company in my 5 or 10 years there, but we decided to part ways. And that's it. And move on. Do not dwell on this question, because if you sit and park yourself on the why are you leaving your current position question, then it becomes an issue. Answer the question and move on. Okay? So those are the answers to some of the tough questions that you'll get during the interview. So we have about 6 minutes left, and I want to give you some of the face-to-face interview rules to follow. I want you guys to write this down and don't break any of these rules, because you can blow an interview by breaking some of these rules. Okay, so number one, no cell phones. Do not have a cell phone during your interview. And if you have a cell phone, I want you to turn it on silent, not vibrate, because vibrate is equivalent to ringing. It will be annoying and it's an interruption. Turn it on silent so you don't even hear it. You have to give that employer their undivided attention. And please, for Pete's sake, if you decide to take a call, which is a no-no, do not even take a call. If you decide to put it on vibrate and not take my advice, and do not answer the call during the interview. You've blown it for sure if you do that. Number two, use the bathroom before the interview. Don't disturb your interview momentum by saying, oh, excuse me, I have to go to the bathroom. Just give me a second. No. Don't drink water, none of that stuff. And that brings me to my next point. Don't eat garlic, onions, or other smelly foods before the interview. Don't drink alcohol before the interview or coffee. And don't smoke during the interview. And for that matter, don't drink a big bottle of water before the interview. All the smelly foods and the smelly drinks and all that stuff, they're going to reek as soon as you walk in. People will smell you. You won't smell yourself, but they will smell you. You'll become nose blind to it all, but they'll smell you from a mile away. So don't, and people will remember how you smelled more than what you said. So make sure you don't eat any of these foods or drink any of these drinks that will cause your breath to reek. And in that way, pop a breath mint before you walk into the door, regardless of what you eat or drink or not before the interview. It's good always to have fresh breath. I want you to smile. The energy is transferable. Don't do the Scary Stepford wife smile, but just smile as you talk. Smile as you talk about the opportunity. You know, and sit up straight in your chair, almost in the middle of the chair, right? So when you're in a chair, don't lean back on the back of the chair. And for Pete's sake, don't slouch. Leaning back or slouching in the chair is associated with laziness. It really is. It gives the visual signal. It's a nonverbal signal, and it's associated with laziness. So sit up straight. Sit almost in the middle of the chair, not at the edge because you could fall, but middle of the chair when you're interviewing, and smile. Don't badmouth your employer, your current employer or your former employer or former managers. That's a no-no. Don't do it. Speak always kindly of them or don't say anything at all. Tell the truth because lies will catch up with you and you'll be found out. So always tell the truth during an interview. And if you don't know the answer to something, say you'll get back to them or say, can you come back to it? And then come back to it at the end of the interview. And then finally, big part here, this is a Holly tip, one of my personal favorites, is dress the part by choosing particular colors. Colors are psychological. So here's what I suggest. I want you to consider that black is associated with authority. Gray is associated with confidence. Blue is associated with loyalty or a corporate color. And then secondary colors for shirts and accessories, white is associated with cleanliness or purity. Green is a friendly color. I want you to consider wearing these color palettes and to convey a certain message of authority, confidence, loyalty. So black suit, gray suit, blue suit, I want you to consider wearing those during your interview. So my ending thought for today is that the key to acing the face-to-face interview is preparation and attitude. Be calm, be yourself. And preparation helps instill that confidence so you don't have to search for the answers. And remember, people buy from who they like, so present your best self during the interview and be optimistic. My resume tip for the week is teachers, educators, college professors, submit a curriculum vitae as opposed to a traditional resume. CVs, they include a course catalog of courses that you've taught and professional development. And it also includes your teaching appointments. Thank you, everyone, for listening and tuning in. You can check my blog for show notes, log on to blogtalkradio.com/Holly Bunn for show updates, and find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest at Ms. Resume Help. I will see you next Saturday. Have a great weekend.